check, check. Hello, hello, can you hear me? Check, check. I'm not 1,000% sure if you guys can hear me. Somebody send me a message, send me a DM or comment on my page somewhere, and let me know if you can hear me, if you can hear me. I'm about to go to Instagram right now. All right, guys. I guess whoever has the 408239 number, tell me if you can hear me.
I can hear you.
If you can hear me, you can hear me. Okay, you're the one with the 408 number. Okay,
correct.
Got it. All right, I'm going to meet you back now. All right, thank you, thank you. All right, so this is Sylvester McNutt III. This is my first time doing this. I experienced a lot lately, and I felt it was a necessary thing for me to do to connect with you guys outside of the writings, outside of me yelling at you on my YouTube videos. So basically, we're going to be on here for not too long, maybe 20 minutes, maybe 30 minutes. But basically, here's the ground rules that I have for you. And these are the ground rules that I set at the beginning of every single book I write. I say the exact same thing at the beginning. Don't judge what I'm about to say as good or bad. Everything that I present is literally just information. Nothing I'm telling you is wrong. Nothing I'm telling you is right. The only thing I'm doing is sharing perspective. I'm just sharing information. That's it. I'm only sharing information. At the end of the day, I am no guru. I am nobody special. None of us are. We are all just human beings. That's it. So with that being said, don't listen to this and don't hear this and give me credit for anything, because the only thing I'm delivering is a message. And the only reason that the message is coming to you is because it's a message that you're attracting. So it's really not about me. It's not about my ego. So this is all about you and your moment. Now, the second thing is you got to be in the present moment, and you have to be present with me. If you're writing emails, scrolling, you know, Facebook, or if you're on Netflix or whatever, you're distracting yourself from your purpose. And your purpose right now at this moment is to be on this call in full attention. So at this time, I need everybody to bring their full attention to this call. I need everybody to pay attention. Now, if you're at work or you're driving, I understand that, you know, you're a little distracted, and that's definitely understandable. But if you're in the comfort of your own home, just relax. Maybe put your phone on speakerphone. Maybe put some headphones in. I can't promise you that I won't swear, but I probably won't. But you never know. You know, you never know. So with that being said, tonight we're going to go over a topic of suffering. I had something funny happened to me today, and I posted it online on my Instagram account. So basically, I'll tell you what happened, and this is what prompted this call, okay? I'm at lunch, okay? I'm at lunch, and I'm standing in front of this cooler. I couldn't even make this up if I tried. I'm standing in front of the cooler. I was waiting for my date to get there. In fact, she was there already. She was inside. I didn't know she was inside. So I'm just standing in front of this cooler. And I'm looking at the kombucha, which is it's like a tea, in case you didn't know. So I'm looking at the different flavors, and like, I'm just taking my time, you know, I'm not like rushing or anything. So all of a sudden, and I'm like, I don't know if you guys ever seen the movie Spider-Man, or that, you know, as a TV show, you know, Peter Parker, who is Spider-Man, he has this spider sense, and he can sense when danger is happening. And I've always felt like I've had that same type of spatial awareness, intuition, or whatever you want to call it. So all of a sudden, I like feel this presence behind me and to my left, to my like 7 o'clock, right? So I look, I like turn and look. This man, this man is literally reaching over me. Like he's standing directly behind me. Like if I were to move back, my ass would have went into his hips. Like he was directly behind me. It was kind of disturbing. So I'm like, okay, this is weird. Let me move. Like, like clearly he needs to be here in this space. So let me give him this space. And I moved. I literally just took a step to the side and I just looked at him. Now, in my mind, I'm thinking, what's wrong with this guy? Actually, that's not what I was thinking. What I was thinking is, what the fuck is wrong with this guy? That's what I was thinking. So, but I just looked at him because I just, you know, in a situation like that, you always want to make sure that you're safe. You want to make sure that you're not in any harm. And so that's all I did. I just pretty much looked at him like, dude, like, what are you trying to do? Then he felt my presence. He looked at me. And he just said sorry. He's like, hey, I'm sorry. I didn't realize you were standing there, which obviously is a bald-faced lie. Otherwise, why would you say sorry? Why would you even look at me? Why, you know, he knew. So I didn't say anything. You know, a lot of times when things happen and people apologize, everybody's like, oh, it's okay, yeah. But I think that's the instinctive response. And it wasn't okay, actually, to me. It was not okay. And so I didn't tell him, oh, it's okay, like, I just looked at him because, to me, this is a stranger. And when you reach around another grown person, there's so many possibilities that could happen. You know what I mean? Like, he could have reached around me and grabbed me to choke me, to slam me, to hold me at gunpoint. I mean, we don't know. So my initial human response was that I was in danger. So I backed up and observed the situation. I didn't even react. Verbally, I didn't react. But physically, I just backed up. Observed the situation, then he pretty much showed me that he wasn't a threat. He was just trying to get the kombucha. I guess his kombucha was more important than my kombucha. So he got his kombucha, and he got in line. Mind you, I wasn't in line. He got out of the Peng line to come to where I was at to do this, and then he got back in line. And so I was sitting there thinking about it after it happened, and it was so funny because, you know, then my girl came out of the bathroom, and she looked at me, and she's just like, what the fuck? Like, she just, you know, she was laughing. And then I just started laughing, and I just gave her a hug, and I was like, did you see that? She's like, yeah. I'm like, whatever. Like, let's just let it go. Like, it's not a big deal. She's just like, yeah. So we just let it go and went and had lunch. And so on the drive home, I'm just sitting here thinking about it, and I'm like, hey, you know, a lot of people have emotional responses to things, and then it creates a state of suffering. And I had came up with 10, 11, 12, 13 different posts for Instagram. I wrote all these long captions, and then I was just like, you know what? I really don't feel like typing. I really don't feel like sharing this in this format because I think sometimes the writing format can really dilute a message, and I think you just need to hear it, you know, or need to see it in action to really get the truth of a message. And so that's why I decided to do this blog talk episode. And so now that you know the story that set it up, the preamble, if you will, let's get into the substance here. So if you're just joining the call, we're talking about suffering. So right now, some people, you know, live in a black and white world. Some people like to live in the gray areas. I'm not the one to tell you what's right or wrong, but I am the one to tell you that there is a reality and there is a fantasy, period, you know, regardless of what we believe about white and black or gray areas. And so what I'm going to present to you right now is pretty much an idea that one thing is black and one thing is white, and it's up to you to choose a side, and that there really is no gray area when it comes to this. And it's a paradox, right? So one is either suffering or one is either in bliss. All right. And so before we move forward, I think it's very important that I give you a definition of suffering and of bliss so we can make sure that we're on the same page when I'm using these words. And if you read my books, I use the word suffering and bliss a lot, quite a lot. It's one of the underlying themes of my work is suffering and bliss. And I might go into that more later, maybe on a different episode. But a state of suffering. So suffering is a state of undergoing pain, distress, or hardship. Also, I know that I asked you to be fully aware and attent, you know, and pay attention. But if it's going to help you to take any type of notes, feel free to do what's going to benefit you the best, you know. If you got to take notes, write stuff down. If you end up quoting me or anything, that's totally cool. Do whatever works for you so you can get the most benefit out of the next 15, 20 minutes here, okay? So what is suffering? The suffering is the state of undergoing pain, distress, or hardship. What is bliss? Bliss as a noun is perfect happiness, great joy. So perfect happiness or great joy, if you're using bliss as a noun, or if you're using bliss in a verb format, it's to reach a state of perfect happiness, typically so as to be oblivious of everything else. And that's such a great definition, to be oblivious of everything else, because the word oblivious implies that you're naive or dumb or unaware, and you actually don't have to be oblivious of everything else. So let's move forward into this, right? Why are people suffering so much? So first and foremost, do not assume that a bunch of people are suffering, because you have no proof how many people are suffering and how many people are in a state of bliss. You really don't know. You don't know, and I don't know. And so we shouldn't concern ourselves with how many other people are happy or unhappy. Doing that alone is suffering, because we don't know. We'll never know. There is no answer. There is no graph. There is no proof of who is truly happy and who is suffering. Except that you don't know, except that it is your responsibility to worry about yourself. I noticed that the first reason a lot of people suffer is because they're so damn concerned with what everybody else is doing. So I wanted to point that out as the first step towards this state of bliss we're talking about tonight, is focus on yourself. Literally, focus on yourself. And some people they try to vilify the word selfish, and they call you selfish, you only care about yourself, and I don't know, I have certain opinions about that. When it comes to nature, human self-preservation is a first rule of being a human. At all times, you are to protect yourself. At all times, you are to feed yourself. At all times, you are to take care of yourself, to nourish yourself. So for someone to say that you are selfish, which is the root of self-preservation, it's almost hypocritical to say that you are not being a human. You are fighting your own biology. But again, that's another show. Maybe we'll talk about that. So let's move forward here a little bit. There's three key points that I want to give you guys around suffering or bliss. And if you are writing down, this would probably be a good thing to write down. There are three key points around bliss and suffering, and those are your thoughts, your actions, and the present moment. Every single thing around suffering or happiness can be tied back to those three things: thoughts, actions, or the present moment. Your thoughts, your actions, and your present moment. That's it. So with that, that's what I call the perspective of bliss or the perspective of suffering. It's an accumulation of your thoughts, your actions, and the present moment. Whatever is happening in your present moment, that's your perspective. Every single thing that you think, right, every thought that you have has a frequency that can literally be measured. Every thought you have can be measured. A lot of people don't know that. Every single thought you have can be measured. Typically, researchers have noted that we have about 60,000 thoughts a day. That's a lot of thoughts, and every single one of them can be measured. Therefore, it's vital that you be extremely conscious of your inner dialogue with yourself. And I refer to that as self-talk. If you listen to any type of psychologist or, you know, anybody that's in the field of self-help, you know, healing, yoga instructors, if you listen to Buddhists, you know, anybody that's talking about self-help, right, they have to talk about the fact that self-talk is one of the most important pillars of it. And so what that sounds like, self-talk, it's basically saying things to yourself like, my life sucks, today sucks, you know, or like when I was in that situation earlier with that man, making myself a victim and saying something like, why did he do that to me? That kind of stuff always happens to me, you know, and victimizing myself, right? Or I could, in that situation earlier with the man who reached around me, I could have literally said something to myself, oh my God, he's trying to hurt me. Because my perspective of the world is that everybody's trying to hurt me. So as soon as I get in that situation, then I'm thinking, oh, he's trying to hurt me. Now that causes me to react in a way that wasn't even necessary. See, because in that situation, the reason I told you that story is because I think the, I can't remember that quote I have, but it says something like, what is that quote I have? Let me think. It says, if you have an emotional reaction to everything that occurs, something like other people always control you, which is true. Other people always control you. So when things happen, you have to have the ability to pause, to breathe, to react later after you gather the facts, gather the information, and then deduce what's going on, and then you make the best choice after you have the facts. Because just because you have an emotion, that's not a fact. Your emotion is literally a split second of the present moment. It's not the total package. This is why I tell people all the time, your emotions do validate how you feel, but how you feel is only right now. It's only this second. It's only this present moment. It's not forever. There's no feeling that's ever happened in the history of humankind that has lasted forever throughout the duration of someone's life. So when you have these feelings, right, when you have these feelings, understand that those feelings can be self-talk as well, okay? So you got to pay attention to the self-talk. Self-talk is one of the most important factors around suffering and bliss. Because it's almost like every day when you get up and leave your house, you know, let's just use football, for example. You're the quarterback of your life. You're making all the passes, calling the plays, essentially, right? You're picking who to throw it to. You're picking if you're going to run the ball. However, there is a head coach. And the quarterback works in tandem with the head coach to try to come up with the best strategy to win the football game. But the head coach has a different perspective, right? Because the quarterback is out in the field, but the head coach is on the sidelines. So they have different perspectives of things that they're trying to manage to make sure that their team wins. This same analogy applies to you. Because you, your physical body, is in this physical world every single day, right? But the self-talk, that's your coach. That is your coach. So your coach may call a play, and you may get it and say, no, let's change that play. That's not going to work. Coach, you're not out here. I see the defense. I see what they're doing. I'm going to audible. I'm going to call something else, right? And I'm going to put my team in a different position to win. But what happens over time is when the coach and the quarterback are not on the same page, you end up with a losing season. When losing seasons happen, people get fired. Coaches lose their job. Quarterback loses their job. So it's essential that you understand that. I'm me, and I have my physical body, but then there's also that self-talk factor, right? And so I'm me, I'm the quarterback, and then there's a coach. But understand that they're not separate. It's all the same. It's all one loop. It's all connected, right? It's all connected. There's no separation between you and that self-talk. It's all connected, all right? So let me move forward here a little bit. What I want to do is give you four I'm going to give you four ways to relieve, to abolish, or to manage suffering. And then after I give them to you, I'm going to unmute you guys and if you want to ask me questions. Now, I'm just going to tell you right now that I've never used this. I'm using Blog Talk Radio. I've never used it before. So initially, I set the program to run for 30 minutes. It's telling me I have 8 minutes left. So I don't know if it's going to just do a hard cut and just cut me off. And if it does a hard cut, then we'll come back another time, and we'll pick up from there. If it doesn't do a hard cut, we'll go until I answer a few of the questions. We can have some dialogue, some introspection, and then we'll move on. So I got 8 minutes. What I want to do right now is give you four ways to relieve, to abolish, or to manage suffering. Again, if you're taking notes, feel free to do so right now. These are key points right here that I think is universal for anybody. Man, woman, you know, regardless of your religion, age, your maturity, I think these key points will really help you. So 4 points to relieve, abolish, manage suffering. All right, you ready? First one, understand and accept that the only thing that matters is the present moment. The past is simply a story and is not real, and the future doesn't exist, and you can't prove that it exists. Everything happens in the now. Guys, this is so important. If you look at any spiritual teachers across the history of mankind, everything happens in the now. We all have the same message. Everything is in this present moment. If I asked you right now what you ate for lunch 19 days ago, what's the answer? You don't know. You don't know. If I ask you what you're going to eat for lunch tomorrow, you probably don't know. You probably are clueless. But if you walk in the kitchen right now, at this present moment, you can deduce based on what's in that kitchen. Hey, this is what I'm about to eat, right? Everything happens in the present moment. And there was one key word that I said in my definition I wrote out here, or in my story. Let me see. Story. Okay. So if that's number one, this is 1A, story. Stories keep people from suffering. I see it every day. I read all the DMs you guys send me. I read all the emails. I obviously can't respond to them all because there's so many, but I pretty much see a good majority of them. And it's, you guys are coming up with these grandiose stories to keep yourself in a state of suffering. And I just want to tell you, you're making the story worse. You're not. Okay, let me stop right there. Let me give you number two, because once I give you number two, this will all come together and you're going to be like, oh, okay, I get it. So number two. If you're suffering right now, to relieve, to abolish, or to manage the suffering, you have to change the routine of your life. This is common sense. If your life is suffering, you feel as if you are suffering, you have suffering in your life, it is your duty, because I told you, self-preservation, right? It is your duty. It is your duty to make sure that you change your life. New job, new car. Maybe walk a different path to school. Change your phone number. Your avatar on Instagram or Facebook, change it. Are you smiling in the picture? Look at your Instagram and your Facebook photos right now. Are you smiling in all your photos? You should be. You should only be posting pictures when you're happy. Not for other people, but for you. So when you go back and you look, you can say, oh, I was happy on this moment. And it's not to fake or keep up with somebody else's lifestyle. It's for you. You want to go back on your page and look at your page and be like, hey, I was happy when I was here or whatever. You want a happy life, a happy routine. So if your routine does not make you happy, change it. It's simple. Change it. Right? I just noticed something. I think this thing is limiting me to, it's like capping the callers out. So there's only a certain amount of people that can get on. So if you're on the call, don't get off because they're not going to let you back on because it's maxed out. All right, that's kind of cool. All right, so number three and four, let me give these to you. Number three, never talk like a victim. And this ties to the very first thing I told you about the stories. Don't talk like a victim. Don't say things like, oh, woe is me. Why does this always happen to me? My life is X, Y, Z. That ties back to what I was talking about earlier, self-talk. Self-talk. This is the pillar. Self-talk is a pillar of your perspective on whether you are suffering or whether you are in bliss, right? It's black or white, right? This is all connected. And then number four, this is the most important thing, right? This is why so many people are suffering. This is why so many people cry themselves to sleep, why people push themselves into depression. And I don't say that lightly. I've been depressed. I've recovered from it. I recovered from it myself by changing my perspective, right? Number four, the most important thing is acceptance of the present moment. There are so many people in denial right now about the present moment, about how another person sees them, how another person treats them, about them knowing that their job is not going to promote them, them knowing that they're the reason they're, whatever, 10 pounds overweight. Well, I mean, whatever it may be, obviously, right? Whatever it may be, acceptance of the present moment. Until you accept things as they are, you will never be happy. Because you create this falsified world that doesn't exist. You're living in the fantasies of your own expectations, and you can't even live up to that. Yet you expect other people to live up to that. How does that work? It doesn't. You have to live in the now with acceptance. You have to accept things as they are. Right now I have stretch marks on my bicep. I have to accept that is my skin. Skin grows. It gets bigger. It gets smaller. And if it does that enough, there's stretch marks, right, from the elasticity. That's life. That's what it is. I was playing basketball the other day. I have three cuts on my forearm because people hack. People don't know how to play defense. So they've hacked my arm apart like they were trying to make a sandwich out of my arm. And now I have these three cuts that may leave a scar. That is life. I could probably put some cocoa butter on it or do something to help it out. But I have to live in the moment, and I have to accept it is what it is. I have to accept it, all right? So I'm just going to repeat those four for you one more time. Understand. Wait a minute. Hold up. Okay. Understand and accept that the only thing that matters is the present moment. Change the routine of your life. Acceptance. And never talk like a victim. All right. So it tells me I have 2 minutes left here. I'm just going to try to unmute you guys. And if you have any questions, thoughts, go ahead and chop them below. But keep your phones muted. I'm going to try to unmute everybody. Let me see how I do this. Okay. I don't know if this is working. I'm unmuting you guys. Anybody have anything? Any questions? Any thoughts? Pretty much unmuting everybody right now. Feel free to speak. Feel free to speak if you have any questions, any thoughts. Everybody is unmuted at this point. Oh, she's yelling at me saying 60 seconds. Hopefully we can keep going. We'll find out. All right, just about everybody's unmuted. If you have any questions, thoughts, let me know. Time is now. Don't be shy. Hello?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir. Okay.
All right, go ahead.
I guess I could say I'm just going through a moment of healing, as we all are, since we're all ascending and raising our frequencies. But I don't know, I feel a little lost. Do you have any advice at all, anything that flows through mind?
When you say you feel lost, what does that mean?
I feel like I'm connected and I'm here, but at the same time, I don't really feel like fulfilling my mission to the extent that I know I can. I just feel lost in the fog, you know?
No, I don't know. You got to explain. What do you mean? You're lost in what? So when someone says they're lost, right, that's implying that there's somewhere you're supposed to be, which is not your present moment. Where are you supposed to be that's not here? Because the only place you can be is here.
Yes.
So where are you looking to go? Is it related to a career goal? Is it related to some type of personal achievement? When you say you're lost, right? Where are you?
Yes. I wish to, I guess, start my own career because I dropped out of high school or prison or however you wish to term it, and I want to bring my own piece of knowledge, my perspective to the spiritual world.
Okay.
And I don't know, I feel like I need to be out there and putting out my message, I don't know, I guess stronger in a sense. But I don't know, I'm feeling lost in that. Like, I don't feel right where I am right now.
All right, so what are you going to do to change that? What can you do to impact it?
I don't really know. I'm not allowing myself to see all the possibilities. That's why I feel like I'm kind of lost.
What have you, so you said, all right, you said that you're not where you want to be with this spiritual world, putting out a message. Are you putting, have you tried to put out the message at all?
Yes. I have, three different accounts where I post different things on each of them, but for some reason I feel like, I don't know, I guess I'm not feeling recognized, and I feel lost in that sense because...
Okay, so what does that mean? You're not recognized, what, by your follower count, by the interactions on your page, by the feedback? What's not recognizing you? Because the only thing that should be recognizing you is you.
Yes, exactly. I guess I could say I feel like I'm not getting, I said recognized. Oh, yeah, yeah. Thank you so much again, really quickly. You're helping me process my thoughts more clearly.
He's fucking retarded.
Be nice. So I'll tell you something. You seem like you may be similar to what I do, where, you know, I have thoughts, I have perspectives, I have ideas, I have things that I present to people, right? I present them in my books. I present them via YouTube on this call. So here's one thing that Here's one thing that what it sounds like is making me personally different than you. One, I believe in my message. Absolutely no person on this planet could come into my living room, could come into any one of my shows and make me not believe in my message. The reason I believe in my message is everything that I go over, everything I write about is something that I've either, one, experienced, two, I've either went to school and studied. I went to college for communication and for psychology. So I studied relationships as well as interpersonal relationships. So I work specifically in my niche for what I studied when I was in school. So I have a lot of knowledge as well as personal real-life experience that started when I was a child and carried through adolescence and adulthood. So I have almost 20 years of experience of what I for my quote-unquote message. So if you don't believe in your message, nobody will believe in your message. Why the hell should I listen to you if you don't listen to you? Why should I listen to you if you can't articulate why someone should listen to you? All right. One skill that really helped me, I worked for a sales company for 5 years. It was one of the best things I did. And what it taught me was it's something called a 30-second sell pitch, where if you get in an elevator with someone, you have to sell your company, your products, and your services to someone. If you can't sell yourself in 30 seconds to someone, because that's the attention span that people have in this generation, it's really like 8 to 12 seconds, then nobody's going to care, and that's just the cold, hard truth. So you need to get to a point, and it's going to take practice. It's going to take dedicating yourself to your craft. It's going to take lots of practice. It's going to take lots of failure for you to get to the point where you feel confident in your message. I want you to know that I practiced writing silently by myself for almost 15 years before I ever showed anybody. Because in my mind, I was like, man, if I'm going to be a writer, I need to practice, and I need to get good, and I need to study it, and I need to take classes on it. So you're at a point where you might be expecting some end result goal, but you haven't put the work in yet. So go back to the drawing board and start putting the work in, and don't look in the future for the results. Then stay in the present moment and just put that work in and hustle. That's all you can do. Does anybody else have questions, thoughts, comments, concerns?
I have a question. Can you hear me?
Okay, I think I heard a couple voices. Somebody just go ahead right now.
Okay, so if you wanted to ask anything for relationship advice, how could we contact you?
I mean, that's kind of a tough question. Like this call right here is definitely about suffering. So if you feel it's related to suffering or bliss, feel free to ask me now. As far as relationship advice one-on-one, that's not something I actually do. I only stay in the theme of what I'm doing at the moment. And right now at this moment, I'm trying to go over suffering and bliss. You know what I mean? For relationships, I've covered just about everything there is to cover on relationships, whether that's getting over an ex, getting through divorce, child abuse, you know, how to build a healthy relationship. In my books, I've covered it all. Self-love, how to let go. I mean, anything that anybody asks me around relationships, I've already covered in my books, all of them. So maybe send me an email. Be specific. Don't send me a long email. Just be very specific and direct. Tell me exactly what you're looking for. If I have a free resource, I'll send that to you first. If I have it on YouTube, if I've covered it on YouTube, I'll send that to you first. If I cover it in a book, I'll tell you in the book. That's the best and fairest answer I could give you for this moment right now.
Okay, well, I'm kind of confused because I don't know, because I am in, like, a relationship, but I don't know if, like, I want to be in it or not, you know, because I don't understand.
Please mute your phone. Go ahead, finish.
Yeah, because I don't understand how, I just don't understand it. I'm really confused for the past, because, you know, when somebody does something and then they repeat it and then you forgive them because they apologize or something. So I don't know if whether to move on from that or not.
Okay, yeah, so that definitely sounds like suffering. So first and foremost, I never tell anybody what to do. The only thing I do is help you introspect your own thoughts. So why are you confused, right? Do you not have a clear picture in your head of how your relationship should go, right? Not that we need to live up to expectation, but don't you have a picture in your head that the majority of it should be banked in happiness and communication? And if someone is hurting you, right, if they're hurting you consistently,
but
go ahead.
I don't think it's like that. I feel like the person told me that they told me this after, so like for a couple of days they were mistreating me and like verbally mistreating me because they're not with me right now, but they were verbally mistreating me. So I was really like, you know, I felt really bad hearing all that stuff, and I didn't know what to do. And then I guess they kind of understood after, and they were just like, sorry about it, you know. But I don't know what, like, because I've been with them for almost a year now, and they said they do not trust me. So I that's when I was, like, really shocked, and I didn't know what to do, you know.
Okay, so let me tell you, what you're saying is not direct, right? So since it's not direct, it's leaving the spectrum of what you kind of want me to respond to so wide open that I'll just basically be throwing darts at a wall. So what I'm going to tell you is this, and then I'm going to move to the next person. You said that so-and-so mistreated you, right? And that is a state of suffering, so I'm going to address that. People mistreat you consistently because you allow it. Okay, if it happens one time, that's a one-time thing. Maybe it happens again, they didn't know, you know, okay. But if it is consistently happening where you are getting, quote-unquote, mistreated, you are allowing that. Now, also because one of my main themes is to never talk like a victim, maybe it's possible that they don't even know that they're mistreating you because you haven't said, right?
I directly said that you're not talking to me, right? That's what I said.
Hold on. It's possible that they're treating you this way because you haven't set the barriers, right? So you have to always set a path for how you're going to be treated, and that starts with how you treat yourself. Every single time, it starts with how you treat yourself, and when these things happen, you nip them in the bud right away, right? You give second chances because people make mistakes, but you nip these things in the bud right away, and you let people know, this is not acceptable. This is not something that I'm going to stand for. And then when it happens again, you have to have action to follow when you're making a claim that you're not going to stand for something.
Yeah, so that's the thing, because it happened like a few months back, like 2 months back, I believe. It happened and it was pretty bad, but then we cleaned the slate and we went forward, you know, and then it happened just last week. That's when I was kind of confused.
You got to go with inside of yourself, and you have the answer inside of you. It's never inside of another person. Go inside of yourself. Sit with yourself. Most importantly, communicate with this person. It sounds like you care about this person. Communicate with them, and you make the best decision for you. Please mute your phone for a second. All right, so I'm going to take two more questions, comments, concerns, any thoughts you guys have, and then I'm going to get out of here.
Okay, have a question in regards to when you said that we're not supposed to, you know, play the victim role. I wanted to know, how exactly do we get over that hump if every situation or relationship we get into seems to end in the same result? And so it becomes almost like you are the victim, because no matter what situation you get yourself into, the outcome tends to be the same. How do you, like, change that out? I guess change the way you look at the outcome so you're not looking at yourself as a victim anymore.
Okay, so the first thing that sticks out to me is you're saying every relationship that you enter or a person enters ends the exact same way, right? So the first thing that tells me that's a trigger for, and we're not going to blame this person, right? We're not going to put the weight of the quote-unquote failure on this person, but we're just going to say that consistently this person is getting in situations that are ineffective, right? They're just not – this person doesn't have a winning strategy. And I equate it to sports, just like earlier I was talking about the quarterback and the coach. It's the same thing. Everything in life is about strategy. every single thing is about psychology. It's about strategy. It's about how well you execute a plan, or you just go into it and you go with the flow and see what happens. And that's usually why people fail at everything, right? That's usually why. So if you're saying that you or this person, whoever we're talking about, is getting in the same relationships over and over and over, and they're having the same results over and over and over, I believe that this person needs to look within. They need to look within. They need to deduce what's wrong with them. Not wrong as in they're a bad person, but what's not effective? What's not working? What are they bringing that's not working, right? We're not going to blame them totally, but we want to look for power here, right? We want to give ourselves the most power we can. So the way we do that is we're accountable for ourselves. So let me see what I brought to the table, each one of these, and what I did so I can adjust it, right? And it takes time. Being in a relationship is a skill. Just like earlier I talked about the quarterback, you guys probably heard of Aaron Rodgers or Tom Brady, Cam Newton. You guys heard of these quarterbacks. What they have is a skill set, right? They are valuable to their teams because they bring something to the table to help their teams win. The same thing applies to each one of us when we go get in a relationship. We have a certain amount of attributes and skills and qualities that make us a good, great, bad, or indifferent type of partner, and that's true for all of us. Right. So if you're failing, you or this person we're talking about is failing over and over and over. This means we have to be honest and say, hey, we don't have the skills. Right. Since we don't have the skills, let's go get knowledge and perspective, because you're getting the experience part of it. And that's going to always teach you something. But now we need outside perspective. So this is when you go see, maybe you go see a marriage counselor. And I recommend single people to go see a marriage counselor. They have so much information for you. Go see a marriage counselor. Use resources like me, like, you know, my YouTube videos, you know, these talks, you know, my books. You have to maybe enroll in college again, and maybe just take one. If you have the money, you know, you got $1,000, take a class that teaches you the sociology of gender of man and woman, that teaches you the psychology of how we interact with each other. Because this is why people fail at relationships. They don't understand psychology. Relationships is all about psychology, interpersonal relationships. That's where I would start. Now, that you had two things that really stuck out. That was the first thing. The second thing, I'm trying to remember what the second part was. Let me think.
I was asking about more so like how, I guess, you answered about the outcome.
Oh, your perspective.
Yeah,
how not to be a victim. Okay, so that's the first thing. I think that's the most important thing for this situation. The second thing is how not to feel like a victim. It's tough because, you know, when you invest your time and you put your mind into these situations, it's tough, you know, when you get the same result and you do start to think, right? You do start to think, damn, like this keeps happening. It has to be me. I have to be not good, or, you know, whatever those thoughts are. You start to kind of pinpoint yourself as the reason. And so that can very easily turn into victim talk, and it can very easily be negative. And here's the thing. It's only your perspective. You can pinpoint yourself and you can do it from an accountability standpoint, which then gives you power, or you can pinpoint yourself and then blame yourself, which puts you down. So it really is just about being conscious and aware of that inner self-talk and just saying, hey, you know what? I did make a mistake, because everybody does. Every single person in relationships is going to make a mistake. So if you did, own up to it, go back out there, get new information, try again, because that's really all you can do anyways. But the most important part is to try to get some new information. If you keep doing the same things over and over and over and over and over, you need a new strategy. You need new information. So seek things, tools that will help you. Got it?
Okay, thank you. Yes, thank you.
All right, I'm going to take one more, and then I'm going to get out of here. So go ahead.
I have the last question.
All right.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Okay. Oh, so my question is, suffering is kind of like a necessary evil sometimes, right? Like sometimes you need to go things for growth and a lesson and understanding. I guess my question is, what's a good telltale sign that it's time to move out of suffering, meaning learning the lesson and moving into a state of bliss? And what would be your suggestion for that transition? Because sometimes it can be really difficult.
Yeah, so I think the first thing is you actually believe that suffering is somewhat necessary. And well, I'm going to challenge you to...
Sorry, go ahead.
I was going to say, I'm going to challenge you. I get what you were saying. It's very poetic what you're saying, that some struggles make you a better person and make you learn certain things, and that's absolutely true. But I don't think any part of suffering at all is needed at all. We don't need to feel unhappy to appreciate happiness. I absolutely hate quotes that say that. You don't have to feel unhappy to appreciate happy. Happy is a great thing. When you see kids and they're younger, they don't have as much consciousness as we do. They just express themselves as they are. They're just happy, or they're just whatever else they are. But for the most part, kids are usually really happy. And it is my true belief that the root of who we are is really based around happiness, right? And I think in this generation, we create a lot of suffering on ourselves, man, with the social media, comparing each other to each other, the stress of us working 40, 50 hours a week, the jobs that don't pay enough, but the bills that are too high, the college education that's $40,000 a year, all the GMO stuff in our food. We have created so much suffering, and it's everywhere you go. So now, like you say, like your question says, like how do we get from suffering to bliss? Like, is it even possible? It's absolutely possible, because I live in the same world with you, right? And I was a person that absolutely was depressed, was sad, was super emotional at one point in my life. Now I live in a complete state of bliss. Now, let me explain that. That doesn't mean that I don't have my moments. That doesn't mean I don't feel anger. I'm not one of these spiritual teachers that's going to be naive to the fact that anger is a perfectly normal human emotion and that it happens. I experience anger. But the thing is I've conditioned myself not to let it stay, because I understand, right, and this is the answer to your question, I understand that everything other than happiness is truly irrelevant. If it is not happiness, it's irrelevant, and my goal is to learn how to let it go. I've learned enough lessons through pain that I no longer need any type of pain whatsoever to teach me anything. That's just my personal perspective.
Facts.
Go ahead. Oh, you were saying
facts.
Oh,
no, that's
okay,
somebody else. Sorry. That's somebody else.
Okay. So,
I guess
in summary,
I worded that wrong. I guess I was saying some lessons cause suffering, just because you have to go through something and learn something or know yourself better or whatever it might be. But because of that, suffering is caused. So I guess I was just asking, like, when do you feel that once you've learned that lesson and you've gone through the suffering, how do you best transition out of that to state of bliss and then stay there? Because it's really
hard, right? That
transition is really difficult, and just stay there and keep there, because you don't want to keep falling back. You want to continue to stay there, right? You know what I mean? Like you just said.
Right. So, yeah, definitely. So you stay there with that inner self-talk, right? And so you need to condition yourself, and this is something that I personally do, and so I'm going to say it to you in that way, that you need to condition yourself to make sure that your inner self-talk is always – almost like a checks and balance system, like how the United States government supposedly is, how it's a check and balance system, right? So when you get too low, boom, just, hey, okay, I feel it. I'm down. I'm a little sad. Tell yourself something like, hey, it's going to be okay. I'm a little sad today. Let me not ignore my sadness, right? Let me deal with it. Let me feel it for a second. But let me understand that this sadness doesn't have to stay, and I'm allowed to let it go. I can feel it, and I can just let it go, right? Same thing. If you get way too high, you're feeling way, you know, I don't know, maybe you get a new dress, some MAC lip gloss, I don't know, whatever makes you happy, you're just up there. You're up there in those clouds, you know. Feel that happiness and that joy as long as you can. But just always know, hey, yeah, it's okay. Like, I can get off my ego and come back down and just, you know, try to ride a wave, you know, because you're going to go down, you're going to go up. That's normal. But you definitely don't want to let yourself stay down. And you do that with making sure you pay attention to your inner dialogue, your inner self-talk. When stuff starts going wrong, hey, I'm going to be okay. I'm going to get through this. My favorite word is overcome. I'm going to overcome this. It's going to just say that to yourself. If you're going through a hard time right now, just say, I'm going to overcome this. Every single day, I'm going to overcome this. As soon as you start thinking about a messed up situation that you're in, I'm going to overcome this. That's it. I'm going to get through. I got to keep going. And it's really about that inner dialogue, and you just keep working and working and working, and then sooner or later you're just like, hey, I'm done with that situation from 3 years ago. I've learned so much, like you say, like I've learned so much from that, and now I'm going to stay in bliss because I'm not going to allow myself to get in those situations.
Okay.
Does that work for
you? Great. Thank you for the advice. Yeah.
All right, team. I appreciate you guys. I'm about to get out of here. I'm going to try to do these calls a little bit more, maybe once a week. I guess I got to go back and look and see. It looked like it was capped out at like 50 or 75 callers and no one else could get on. So I'm pretty sure people would be mad about that. But you guys got on. So thank you. Thank you for giving me a chance. Thank you for allowing me to be here. This is the point in my show where I'm supposed to tell you to go buy my books, but I'm not going to tell you that. I'm just going to tell you guys to have a good night. And see, that was a trick. I just told you. You didn't get it? Okay. All right, y'all. Y'all take care.
Wow.
I'll see y'all on Instagram. Bye-bye.
Namaste.
Bye. Thank you.